Good morning, Cornerstone. Welcome to Cornerstone. Today we have a couple things I want to do before we start singing. We like to sing, and that gets our focus, our mind, and gear. But this is a new semester, a new school year, and so there are lots of new people coming in and out of Cornerstone. We have a directory. Some of you don't even know we have a church directory that's on paper that I'm going to give you a chance to update your address and information if you're in it, and if you're not in it and want to be in a directory where we can know where you are and people can call you if they want to reach out and you can call them. Sophie has two copies of the directory with blanks on the back, and she's going to hand them out to each side. And throughout the service, if you want to include your information, just put it in the back, and we'll add it to our directory. Then we'll get copies out to everybody. Does that make sense? So we got a directory and a pen for each side, and you can do that throughout the service. Just make sure it works its way all the way to the back by the end of the service. So it has an hour to make it to the back row. All right, go for it, Sophie. Go Team Sophie. All right, we're going to sing a couple songs this morning. And before we do, I want to read. This is a Puritan prayer. This is called the Valley of Vision. And I appreciate these prayers so much. This is one I've just fallen in love with. I'm probably going to memorize this prayer because there's so much in it that I need. And hopefully you can be blessed by it too. And this can kind of tune our hearts to get ready to lift our voices up to God. Will you pray with me? This is a prayer from the 1600s that we can join and pray with them from so far back. Great God, in public and private, in sanctuary and home, may my life be steeped in prayer, filled with the spirit of grace and supplication, each prayer perfumed with the incense of atoning blood. Help me, defend me, until from praying ground I pass to the realm of unceasing praise. Urged by my need, invited by thy promises, called by thy spirit, I enter thy presence. Worshipping thee with godly fear, awed by thy majesty, greatness, glory, but encouraged by thy love. I am all poverty, as well as all guilt, having nothing of my own with which to repay thee. But I bring Jesus to thee in the arms of faith, pleading his righteousness to offset my iniquities, rejoicing that he will weigh down the scales for me and satisfy thy justice. I bless thee that sin, great sin, draws out great grace, that although the least sin deserves infinite punishment because done against an infinite God, yet there is mercy for me. For where guilt is most terrible, there thy mercy in Christ is most free and deep. Bless me by revealing to me more of his saving merits, by causing thy goodness to pass before me, by speaking peace to my contrite heart. Strengthen me to give thee no rest until Christ shall reign supreme within me in every thought, word, and deed, in a faith that purifies the heart, overcomes the world, works by love, fastens me to thee, and ever clings to the cross. There's so much good stuff in there, I forget immediately after I read it. But this is our prayer. Let's sing. Let's sing with all our hearts to the God of amazing grace. Would you rise to your feet?
The whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all peace.
This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place.
That I would be set free.
has he done for you? You can go way back to the cross. You can think about what he's done for you this week.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance.
Worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love.
What other king leaves the throne? We got another slide here. I want you to think about this. What kind of king do we have? Like no other.
What other king leaves a throne? What other king leaves his throne? What other king leaves his glory? What other king leaves his glory to die? What other king leaves a throne? What other king leaves his throne? What other king leaves his glory? What other king leaves his glory to die? Yeah, his glory to die. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
All that you've done for me.
done for me. All that you've done for me.
Amen. Amen. What other king? God, there's no king. There's no king like you. There's no king like Jesus. That's why we're here. We pray in his name. We sing in his name. Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died.
King of Kings.
praise. All praise to you, Father. King of kings, Lord of lords. God, we have bowed ourselves to you, and we come under your authority. We come under your kingdom, and we come under your blessing. So God, bless us today in your kingdom, in your name, through your Son. God, bring your blessing. You've given us your best. We receive it with thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for singing with us. We're going to dismiss the kids, third grade and under, downstairs to Children's Church. And in the meantime, we have a question of the day. And this question, what's something you're committed to that's become more of a joy than a commitment? Something you're committed to that's become more of a joy than a commitment. Playing an instrument, cooking your children. Not cooking your children, sorry. No, that was wrong. That was not planned. Something that's become more of a joy that started out as a commitment. Share that with somebody near you, and then we'll come back together, open up scripture.
All right. Well, welcome live stream. I didn't mention you guys. Those of you who are watching online, we're glad you can be here. My wife is one of those today. She was a little bit under this morning, so she's watching from a distance. But those of you who are here, welcome. Those of you who are somewhere else, welcome. We are getting ready to embark on a one-year-long trip through the Old Testament. This is the week prior to the beginning. And because the Old Testament is intimidating, it's unfamiliar to a lot of people, I committed 3 Sundays to talk about why are we doing this? Why would we spend an entire year studying the Old Testament? I'm convinced we need it. I'm convinced we need the Old Testament. We don't only need the New Testament. We need the Old too. And so the title of this upcoming series is Foundation. Foundation. The Old Testament is the foundation for the life-giving truth we love from the New Testament. It's the foundation. So 2 weeks ago, I shared, what do Peter and Paul have to say about the Old Testament? And what do they say? It's inspired. It's been breathed out by God. Prophets, they didn't just write down what they wanted to. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote. That's what Peter and Paul said. So yes, human beings wrote the words down, but they were directed by God what to say. They weren't led by impressions. God gave them the very words they wrote down. That makes the Old Testament pretty important. Then last Sunday, we looked at Psalm 19, which says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Reviving the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. So the Old Testament, according to God, is soul food for us. It can revive our souls, and I, for one, need that on a regular basis. Today, I want to take you to another psalm. Today, we're going to Psalm 119. 119, it is the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses. We are not going to cover all 176 verses today. We'll look at 16, the first 16. But why are we going to Psalm 119? If you don't know anything about this chapter, almost every single verse in this psalm references specifically the Word of God. The Word of God, the statutes of God, the law of God, the ordinances of God, all these different words for God's law. They almost every verse, I think there are 169 of 176 verses specifically reference the law, the Word of God. So obviously the chapter is about God's Word and what we're supposed to do with it. And this is how it begins. And this has kind of caught me. This is perhaps the why we want to dig into this chapter today. First 2 verses. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. The first word of the psalm is blessed. Blessed. It means happy. And the implication is that the happiness comes from God. Blessed are you that walk according to the law of God. If you walk according to the law of God, the God of that law will bless you. He will fill you. He will satisfy you. That's the claim we find in the psalm at the beginning before all 176 verses unfold. So, do you want to be blessed by God? Is that a dumb question? Do you want to be blessed by God? Then follow his law. Then seek him with all your heart. That's how we begin. So why do we need the Old Testament? Well, we need it because by learning God's ways and following them, that's how we receive God's blessing. I want God's blessing. I don't know if you want God's blessing, because sometimes we decide we want our own blessing. We want to find our own way. I want God's blessing. In ancient times, the Hebrew people, they would give to their oldest son a special blessing. That's a thing in the Old Testament. It's kind of like a verbal inheritance, right? And probably the most famous story related to that is Jacob and Esau, right? If you're familiar with that story, Jacob and Esau, they're the twin grandsons of Abraham, Father Abraham. So Isaac was their dad, and when they grew up, and it was time for Isaac to give his son Esau the blessing because he was the oldest. Jacob, younger brother, younger by like a few minutes, took advantage of his father's poor eyesight at the urging of his mother and convinced his dad that he was Esau. Isaac was deceived into giving Jacob the blessing that belonged to Esau. And when Esau comes into the tent to finally receive his blessing because it was the day to do it, his father had already given it away. The blessing was gone. It was delivered. This was not a small thing. This was a betrayal. And this is when Esau, according to Genesis 27, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, father." Jacob's deceitful act tore the family apart. And it would never be the same. That blessing was a big deal. Why am I talking about this? Esau was devastated when he realized his blessing had been stolen from him. My question for you, do you crave the blessing of God like Esau craved the blessing of his father? Do you crave, desire, the blessing of God, like Esau? Fortunately for us, God has plenty of blessing to go around. Nobody's going to steal your blessing, but sometimes we pass on it ourselves. We miss it ourselves through neglect, not even turning to God, or unbelief. God has blessing for us, but you got to come to him and get it. You got to come to him and get it. If you reserve a book at the library, simply reserving it doesn't mean you have it. It's there, it's got your name on it, you can have it, but you still got to go get it. Psalm 119 tells us, how do we pick up God's blessing? It's in the library, it's ready for you, it's got your name on it. How do I go and pick it up? Do you want the blessing of God? Do you crave it? Honestly, think about that. You want it like Esau did? Seriously, do you want the blessing of God? Just give me some kind of head motion if you want God's blessing. All right, there's a few. If you want God's blessing, I just want you to say to God right now, "Bless me, Father." Ready? "Bless me, Father." Just close your eyes and say it to God. "Bless me, Father. Bless me, Father." Does God want to bless you? Some of us have to overcome that. We don't believe God wants to bless us. He does. He does. And I think Psalm 119 can help us. So Psalm 119, if you have your Bible, open it up. And I want to walk through these first 16 verses a couple times with you. We're going to do some kind of interactive Bible study today. It's going to be a little different. I'm going to ask for your feedback. I'm going to ask for you to answer some questions, which are there right here in the passage. They'll be right up on the screen. These aren't trick questions. So just be ready for that. Psalm 119, Bible's open in front of you on your app, up on the screen. We're ready. We're looking at this psalm, first 16 verses. God wants to bless you. So first two verses, who gets God's blessing? Who gets God's blessing? "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Okay. If you're paying attention right now, and you're being honest, you're probably thinking, okay, well, if that's what it takes, I'm probably not part of God's blessing. Blameless? Anybody want to come up to the front and tell us how blameless you are? Seek him with all your heart. How many of us actually qualify for that? I do not. I do not. So, what do we do with this? I'm far from perfect, so maybe I don't qualify for God's blessing. If you're being honest and you understand yourself, that's what you should be thinking right now. But we don't stop with the first two verses. There's hope for us. We need to get to verse 5. Verse 5 has some hope. So we're not going to get there yet, but here's what I want to do. To understand what's going on in these 16 verses, I've been soaking in them all week and all last week, so I want you to do some soaking too. So here's what we're going to do. I told you every verse has a mention of God's word. We're going to find the word, and then next to it, we're going to put what's the action we're supposed to do. So we're going to go through it twice. First, we're going to find the word. So this is going to be real simple. I want you to call out when you see what the word is for the law of God. What word does the psalmist use to reference the law of God, verses 1 through 16? Okay, here's verse 1. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. What's the word? Law. The law. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. What's the word? Statutes, right? This is easy, right? This is easy. Verse 3, they do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. What's the word? Ways. Verse 4, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Precepts. You're getting this. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Nice. I lost my place. Verse 6, then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. What's the word? Laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Decrees. This isn't hard, right? You feel like, okay, I'm smarter than this. We got 8 more verses to go. Verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. What's the word? Commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Word. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. What's the word? Decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Laws. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Yes, you guys are, you're on a roll now. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Precepts and ways. Oh, it's a double. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Decrees and word. Okay, every verse references God's word. Now we need to walk through it again. What are we supposed to do with it? Okay, 16 more times. Ready? First verse, what are we supposed to do with the word? Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. What are we supposed to do? Walk. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. What are we supposed to do? Seek him, keep his statutes. When I was practicing, I said seek, too. I heard some of you say seek. Keep. Keep his statutes. They're both right. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. What are you supposed to do? Walk again. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Fully obey. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. What are you supposed to do? Obey. You see any repetition here? Seems like it's kind of saying the same thing over and over again, right? Well, you're going to really feel that by the time we're down to 16. Verse 6, then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. Consider. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will praise you. What do I do with his laws? Learn. Good. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Obey. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Living. Living by. Living according to. Verse 10, I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. not stray. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden, I hide God's word in my heart. Verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I'm supposed to be taught, right? Asking, you teach me. I want to be taught. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. What's the word? Recount. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. This is a tricky one. I rejoice in following your statutes. So we're going to go with follow on this one. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Meditate and consider. Last one. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will delight and not neglect. Good, good. That was more interactive than usual, and it was kind of redundant, wouldn't you say? What do we see going on here? What is the emphasis of Psalm 119? The law of God is not something we're just supposed to be aware of. We're not just supposed to know it. Look at these words, our actions. Walk, keep, walk, fully obey, obey, consider, learn, obey, live by, not stray, hide, be taught, recount, follow, meditate, delight. God wants us to follow his ways. And did you happen to notice, maybe you didn't, but the repetition of the word all. Five times. Seek him with all their heart. Verse 4, precepts are to be fully obeyed. Verse 6, I consider all your commands. I seek you with all my heart. Verse 10. Verse 13, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. What does that tell us? There's no room for selective obedience. All of your laws, all of your, in God's point of view, it's all or nothing. There's a lot of people who claim to be followers of Jesus today who have embraced selective obedience. Generally, yeah, I'll obey God as long as it matches with what I already think. But there are these one or two commands of God that, yeah, they're not for me. Not for me. And I'm just going to ignore those things. Just going to kind of look the other way. I know there's grace. I know God will forgive me. Selective obedience. We're talking about intentional disobedience of God. Not like, oh, I messed up again. Oh, man, I can't believe that. I keep doing this. Or you realize you have a blind spot. No, I don't want to do that. We're talking about intentional. No, that's a thing that I'm not going to do. That's what we're talking about. Selective obedience is not okay with God. An example for me, probably the most powerful one that I think of, is when I was discipling a young man who was taking his first steps of faith. This was a couple years ago now, and we were talking every week on the phone, and he was hungry for God, and we were opening up scripture. We worked our way through the Gospel of John. He's understanding the Holy Spirit and Jesus, and he's the Son of God. Like, how can he be anything else? And he's growing, and he's learning, and it was a highlight of my week to meet up with him. We talk on the phone every week, and he didn't live around here, but he'd tell all his friends and his parents he has a pastor. And I'm his pastor. And I loved that. I loved meeting with him and having these conversations. And then we got into an area he just wasn't quite ready to surrender to God. And I wasn't being belligerent about it at all. We took a year before we got to that point. And we talked about that issue a couple times. And he had concluded, I guess that's going to be my sin. That's selective obedience. To say, that's one that I'm not going to change. And that was his heart. And I didn't, like, hammer him for that. It was grievous for me. It was sad for me. And we tried to keep talking, but unfortunately, my weekly conversations with him stopped shortly after that, after he said that. He just stopped responding to my calls. And I wasn't hammering him on that one thing or anything like that. I don't even know why he stopped. He's not talked to me since then. And my guess is that he realized selective obedience really isn't an option. And he walked away sad with that one thing and without the blessing of God. Selective obedience is no more than disobedience with an emphasis on what I'm still doing that's right. Verse 4, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. selective obedience, we try to make that work in the spiritual world. It doesn't work just about anywhere else. How do you think selective obedience would work in the military? Yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. Oh, really? How would selective obedience work in the classroom? School just started, right? Let's say you're a high school student. Got a bunch of homework. You come home with a pile of homework, five classes you got homework. And you work hard that night, and you get four of them done. The math stuff, you just couldn't get to. You walk into school the next day. How much is your math teacher going to care that you got your English and your German and your history done? They're not really going to care about that. They're looking for your math homework. That's what your math teacher's looking for. If God gives you 10 commandments and you commit yourself to 8 of them, is that a B? 80%? Yeah, God, I'll do those 8 and those 2. Is that a B in God's book? That's an F. That's an F. We don't get a pass on any of God's commands. James says if we keep the whole law and break one of them, we're guilty. We're guilty. Selective obedience is disobedience. Now, God knows you're not going to be perfect. He knows I'm not going to be perfect. And so through Jesus, he made a way to be forgiven. There's grace for us. But there's a big difference between coming to Jesus for mercy and claiming a pass on one or two of God's commands that you're just not even going to try. That's a difference, a big difference. If we choose to selectively obey God, we ignore the commands we don't agree with, we're stepping off the pathway of God's blessing. Those who qualify for God's blessing are people who walk according to the law of the Lord. Not just some of it, all of it. Verse 3 says, they do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. God's precepts are to be fully obeyed. And maybe you're thinking, if that's a standard, where's the hope? Because I have failed. Every one of us have failed. I'm with you in that. But now we get to verse 5. Verse 5 is where I find hope. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Why does he say that? Because he knows he's not steadfast in obeying God's decrees. He knows he's not perfect. The psalmist recognizes his imperfection. He wants to consistently follow God, but he knows that he doesn't. So he expresses his desire. Oh, God, I want to obey you fully. I see it again in verse 8. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Why would God forsake him? Because he didn't utterly obey his decrees. So he's saying, God, I know I'm not perfect. Help me. Don't leave me. What does that tell us? It tells us perfection is not actually God's expectation of us. He knows we fail. So what does he expect from us? Desire for total obedience. Desire for God is what he's looking for. He wants our heart. We excuse ourselves from God's blessing when we excuse ourselves from his commands. If we genuinely want to follow his commands, he will help us, and our actions will reflect our heart. So now I want to take these 16 verses one more time. And this time I want to show you what I found to be kind of a step-by-step pathway to God's blessing. We know the big picture. If you want God's blessing, obey what he says. That's the big picture. But there's a few details that I find in these verses that help us to find that path and stay on that path. So I've got 7 specific steps that I have found in these verses that lead us into God's blessing. If you want God's blessing, like Esau wanted his dad's blessing, this is, I believe, the way to get on that path and stay on that path. So with each of the 7 steps, I've just assigned one word. My hope is it's easy to remember. My hope it's something that you might latch onto, and maybe you'll connect it to some aspect of your spiritual life. So what are these 7 steps to the pathway to blessing? Verse 1 and 2, the first step is to turn. We got to turn our attention in the right direction. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Which direction are they facing? Towards God. You got to turn towards God first. That's the first step. I got to decide that's the direction I want to go. Gets me on the path. Second step, learn. I turn and then I learn. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. This is a process, right? I want to learn. Just because I want to follow God doesn't mean I know what he says. And at the very beginning, when we're first following God, we don't know very much at all, but we learn. Third step, commit. We turn to him, we learn from him, we commit to him. Verse 8, I will obey your decrees. I will. We learn, we get knowledge. But that's not the end. We got to do it. We got to do something about it. Obedience is applying what we've learned. So I can look toward God. I can learn a lot of stuff about him. But if I don't commit to following him, I'm not on the path. And there's a lot of people I know who have read the Bible cover to cover who are not following it. We got to make a choice. I commit. Most of you have made that choice, but not necessarily all of you. So turn, learn, commit. So now I want you to speak out loud. Those three steps, say them out loud. Step number one, turn. Step number two, learn. Step number three, commit. What comes next? Fourth step I see in verse 10, lean. Lean. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. We need God's help to do this. That's part of the Old Testament story. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. We need God's help. We got to lean on him. I cannot follow him without his help. So I make a commitment, yes, but I cannot keep it without his help. Humility. Go ahead and make the commitment. God, I want to follow you, but recognize you're going to need his help to do this. Turn, learn, commit, lean. Verse 11, I see another one. Memorize. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding God's word in our heart. When was the last time you intentionally memorized a verse from the Bible? Maybe some of you do that all the time. I would guess for some of you it's been a while. I don't know how your mind works. I know how mine works. My mind is really good at forgetting. Really good at that. I have this book of Puritan prayers. Man, I use this thing, and I will pray some of these prayers, especially on a Tuesday when I'm up on the mountain with God, and it helps me get out of my prayer ruts and reminds me of things about God and things that I should be praying that I don't think about. There's really good stuff in here. And I can pray this prayer, and I can mean every word of it. I'm reading it out loud to God, and I'm loving it. And as soon as I'm done, I'm like, what did I just pray? I try to bring back to mind some of those really cool things that I liked. I can't even remember them. Maybe your mind doesn't do that to you, but mine does. I got to pray it a couple times, then I still have to choose only one or two ideas from that prayer if I want to hang on to it. That's how my mind works. So for me, memorizing scripture is paramount. I have to do it. I have to work at it. I got to lock it in here because it so easily flies right out the door. And memorizing for me has been a really helpful thing. Just memorize and repeat again and again. But remember, this is, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's not just the idea, I got all this scripture memorized. No, you got it in here so I can follow you. There's a goal. I want my heart to be filled with his wisdom because I want to do what he says. So maybe this is your thing. Maybe this is your takeaway. Do you have a practice of memorizing scripture? Some of you, yeah, I used to. Did when I was a kid. I mean, I had to memorize all these verses. There's a reason for it. I'm working on Psalm 119 right now. I did it because I read about Wilberforce, and he memorized the entire chapter. He also eradicated the slave trade, but he memorized all of Psalm 119. So I learned that last year. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try. And I'm plugging along slowly. I'm at verse 63 right now. It's going to take me 2 more years at this rate to memorize 1 chapter of the Bible. But it's feeding my soul. I'm not asking you to memorize Psalm 119, but I will mention that these devotional journals we're using starting next week, they have a verse of the week. So if you don't have a plan right now, it's real easy. It's right here. Here's the verse of the week. Week number 10, Psalm 46, 1. There it is. So if you don't have a plan, there's one for you. Think about it. Feed your soul. First five steps, let's say them together. Number one, turn. Two, learn. Three, commit. Four, lean. Five, memorize. And six, meditate. Meditate's different from memorizing. It's close, but it's not the same. They're related. They're cousins. Memorizing is like branding something into your mind. Meditating is going to that place in your mind and hanging out there. You're looking at what you memorize from all different angles. You're really thinking about it, pondering the implications, soaking in God's truth. Verse 13. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Verse 15. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I recount, I meditate, I consider. Why do I do that? Because it matters to me. Don't memorize something that doesn't matter. You don't even memorize recipes. But God's word, it's worth memorizing. I want to know what he says. I want it to be locked into me. I want to do what he says because I trust him. He's smarter than me. Would anyone say you're smarter than God? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. He's smarter than me and he loves me. And he's given me his word for a reason. To do what God says is the smartest thing I could possibly do, ever. Meditate. Turn, learn, commit, lean, memorize, meditate. And if I follow this path, where does it lead me? This is why I'm sharing this with you, because of the last step. Where does it go? Delight. This is what we all want. Delight. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I read through that psalm a bunch of times when I first started memorizing, and over that idea comes up. I love your word more than mountains of gold. I want to get to that place. I think I'm moving in that direction. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. When I follow this path, the place it leads me is delight. Do you delight in God? Don't go to church because you have to. Somebody's pulling you. Don't read your Bible because you have to. I mean, yes, like the question of the day, what is something you committed to that now it's a joy? That's where we want to go, okay, right? If you don't feel like reading God's word because you believe it's true, you read it. But you want to get to that place where you delight in reading it, where you look forward to spending time with God. Take me there, God. Delight. I can delight in following God's ways because I know it leads to God's blessing. This is true. I can delight in following God's ways because it has already led me to God's blessing. Think about, if you've been following Jesus for a period of time, think about ways you've made a hard decision. I'm going to follow you, and you're glad you did. I mean, my mind immediately went to my relationship with Ann while we were dating, before we got married. We made some decisions. We're not going to do this. We are going to do that. And it was countercultural. And people made fun of us. I had girlfriends that made fun of me for some of the decisions I made, the things I was going to do and not do. I was made fun of by my own girlfriends. But man, I tell you what, looking back 23 years after we got married, I am so glad we listened to what he says. When I follow him, it leads to blessing. Sometimes we follow and we don't have the blessing yet. We're wondering, what's down there? We can trust in knowing the blessings are coming. Blessings are coming. God really is a God who delights to bless his people. So maybe you can look at that seven steps and think about, is there any way that I could see that I've followed that path? And I've seen, yes, it's true. My example, I tried to think about, how has this happened in my life? This is about a year and a half ago. My wife mentioned to me and said to me, I don't think you're healthy right now. I think you're pouring more into people than is being poured into you. My spiritual sponge was under-soaked and over-squeezed. And she was right. I needed more soul food. I needed more God time. And so that is when I started taking my office outside on Tuesdays. I packed up my bag with all the tools I needed to work on the sermon for the week, but I threw in another book or two and say, you know what, this is not for my sermon. This is not for you guys. This is for me. This is God and me time. I'd ride up the Pinnacle Pulpit Rock and begin a weekly rhythm, taking my office outside and meeting God on the mountain. And that was really good for my soul. Really good for my soul. Focus time without distraction. To think about what God has to say to me. Think about what God might have to say to you. And looking back on that decision, I see those seven steps playing out as I turned to God to feed my soul. I started learning a new rhythm that was more healthy. Reading scripture and other books, not just to teach other people, to feed myself. My wife was right. I committed myself to maintain that rhythm. That was not easy to do that every single week. Rainy days were kind of hard. And there were some days I parked at the North Park in Kutztown and just sat in the parking lot most of the day and got out when the rain stopped for a minute. But I was away from everything else. I leaned on God to restore my soul, to guide me in preparing and just to feed my soul. I'm memorizing scripture that keeps reminding me, 63 verses, how much I need God's word. And I found a place I can meditate on God's truth. And guess what happened following that? Tuesdays have become the highlight of my week. Spending the day with God on the mountain has become a true delight. That's not what you need to do necessarily. But if you don't have a regular rhythm of opening your Bible to listen to God, maybe this Old Testament thing we're about to do can be a place where you can get on the pathway to God's blessing and soak in his word maybe more than you do. Practice those seven steps. Turn to God. Learn from the Old Testament. Commit to staying with it for the next year. Follow the path. You're going to need his help. Maybe there's one or two people who are nervous about spending a whole year in the Old Testament, thinking, it's going to be a whole year before we talk about Jesus again. He's in the New Testament, right? I want to make you a promise right now. We're going to be talking about Jesus when we talk about the Old Testament. We're not going to have a year away from Jesus. We can't do that because we got the New Testament, and it shines light on the Old Testament. Oh, Jesus is talked about over here and here and here. He's all over the place in the Old Testament. So we're going to talk about that. I promise you that. And regarding what we talked about today, following all of his ways, because of Jesus, we've got divine help to do that. We can walk the pathway to blessing. Through faith in Jesus, we've got the Holy Spirit of God helping us, shaping our desires, comforting us, guiding us, correcting us as needed. And so on our own, trying to do this by ourselves is true. We can't. We will flop. We will fail. But with Jesus by our side, even when we do fail, there's grace, which means I can get right back up and keep going. There's grace for me, for you. So take the path. This is the path of wisdom. The Old Testament is full of things that we need to know from God. This is the pathway to God's blessing. So seven steps. One more time. Let me hear you say them aloud. It helps keep you awake. Number one, turn, learn, commit, lean, memorize, meditate, delight. That's where it's going. And you probably need to write those things down if you want to remember them. But I hope you'll take that path with me. God, I pray for every person here. You have blessing for us. It's not always what we think. But God, you can take us to that place where we are filled with delight in you, in walking in your ways. Help us trust you, God. We are skeptical. We are filled with unbelief. God, push the unbelief out, replace it with faith, and show us that we can trust you. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing in a minute, but before we do, take a minute. Do you think about what's your next step? regarding what we talked about today.
At the last minute, I was debating whether I'm going to cut one of the two songs we have picked out or not. I think I'd like to do them both anyway. We're going to run a couple minutes longer than usual. I hope that's okay with you. The kids downstairs, they'll be just fine. But let's sing this song to God. I surrender. This is one that my daughter Joanna taught me. She's at school now. Had a moment trying to sing this earlier, but this is good. So you can stay in your seat for now. But let this connect with your heart.
Within my soul, Lord, have your way.
to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
All right, let's rise to our feet for one more song.
To move when you don't part the
prayer. Turn our hearts. Make us one with yours. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can have a seat. Shannon, come on up.
Good morning. Okay, got a few announcements today. First, I wanted to point out, I don't know if anybody saw on their way in, but we have a new sign up on the road, so that's exciting. It's above the Oasis sign. All of you obviously knew how to get here, but for people that don't, now there's a sign on the road that's with our new logo. Thank you, Jacob, for standing in precarious positions to get that attached to those poles. We have the foundation series, like Nate was talking about, starting next week. There are still books on the back if you would like to grab one of the study books to follow along. Even if you know you might not be here every Sunday or whatever, grab one because it's the next year. So if you're here at any point in time, that would be good to have to follow along with. Last week, I think Nate announced for the first time the one night of worship. This has happened before. It's in Fleetwood Park, and it's many different musicians and praise teams, I guess, coming together and putting on a concert in the park. Sunday, September 11th at the Fleetwood Park, 6 p.m. Anybody's welcome? Kutztown Park. Thank you. I didn't even realize that. It has always been a Fleetwood Park. So Kutztown Park, right? It was at Fleetwood? I've actually not made any of these, so somebody else should be announcing this. Read this. Don't listen to me. It's at Kutztown Park, 6 p.m. on September 11th. Okay, another announcement is if you would join us in praying for some areas of service that we could use some people to serve in. Up here we have sound team, worship team, children's ministry. If you're interested in getting plugged into any of those things, pray about it. Are you being led to serve in any of those areas? For sound team, you can talk to Jake. Worship team, Nate. Children's ministry, probably Rick, right? Would be the right person to talk to if you're interested in teaching or just even being an assistant. We have gaps that could be filled in all those. Like iClick today, you probably noticed I was not on my game. So anybody who thinks they might be a better clicker, feel free to talk to me and you can have this remote. We also have deacon nominations are open. This has been announced. If you have somebody you would like to nominate, you can drop it in the offering box. Check with them, talk to them before you nominate them. Make sure they're willing to serve in that capacity and then let them put their name in there. Lastly, we have home groups are starting up in 2 weeks, not this Monday, but next Monday they start off, and we have three different options. There's sign-ups on the tables in the back, so you can put your name down to a group you'd like to attend. We'll be talking about the Old Testament and working through the Foundations book. So I think that might be all that I have. If you have any prayer requests or want to leave your name, you can fill out this card and drop it in the offering box.
So just want to say something about Oasis before we close. This week starts another season of Oasis Youth Center. So we got a bunch of kids coming to this location Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sixth grade only on Tuesday. So pray for the sixth grade class that there'd be a buzz about Oasis, the kids who want to come out, and that there'd be a spiritual atmosphere here that's open to have conversations about God. So it's not a youth group. It's just a place for kids to hang out. Any kid, any belief, it doesn't really matter. Come. And yet we are here. We're ready to introduce them to people who love Jesus and Jesus himself. So I just want to pray for Oasis as we, that's one of the things we put the most energy into in terms of reaching out to our community. So Lord, we pray for Oasis. We thank you for those who are giving their time, who are giving themselves to serve in the afternoon, to serve these students. And God, we pray for this season that's kicking off right now, starting on Tuesday. God, that you would be here, that you would bless it, that you would allow the word to reach the ears of those who need to come. And that while we're here, it would be an atmosphere that entices people, that draws people in to realize that you are a God who cares. You're God who loves them. So, Lord, we just pray that you'll be at work. We can put all kinds of work into something, and we can't do anything on our own. So we recognize our need for you and pray that you would bless this next year of Oasis. In Jesus' name. All right. Thank you guys for hanging in with us for a little bit longer than usual. Have a great day. There are snacks downstairs.